those prayers. So now we're coming on to the sermon. So if we could have the first slide, please. That's famous words. So yeah, I'll be speaking today on this parable, but thank you for the invitation to speak today. Before I dive into the passage, I wanted to just tell you a little bit more about my recent journey with the Bible, because Derek, many years ago, and then Paul have asked me both many times if I'd do a sermon, and until now I've always said no, not because I couldn't be bothered or didn't want to, just because I didn't feel I really had the biblical knowledge to kind of bring anything to people to enrich them, and I didn't want to waste people's time. But I'm standing here now mainly because I'm currently halfway through a graduate diploma. So if I could have the next slide, please, it's got a little bit more information. So I'm halfway through a graduate diploma with Westminster Theological College, which has given me a bit more confidence, and I'm going to use some of the research for that I've done for an essay today. So hopefully there will be something that's new to some people. And if not, you're welcome to use it as an opportunity for a little nap. So everyone's a winner. So how did I end up doing a graduate diploma, you might ask? And that would be a good question, because on the face of it, I don't really have enough time to do that. And I haven't written an essay since I was 16, so it wasn't an obvious choice. But coming out of COVID, I was feeling a bit kind of restless and like I needed to shake things up a bit. And actually, I have to confess, not being super spiritual, the first thing I thought is, well, maybe I'll look for a new job. I was feeling a bit restless at work. So around last May, I applied for a new job at a different firm in Bristol. Went to an interview, got really good vibes, thought, oh, well, that seems promising. And then found out that I hadn't got the job, which was a bit disappointing. But actually, it then prompted me to think outside work and to think, well, maybe there's something else I could do to kind of, you know, try and help this feeling of being a bit restless, a bit kind of meh. And I'd been feeling like wanting to do more Bible studies and to try and get closer to God that way and learn more about the Bible for a while anyway. So I just started Googling Bible studies in Bristol and found out about WTC. And then a few things. Dave Tisdall's actually done this course. He was really encouraging. I went along to an open evening and they were really brilliant people, really encouraging and lovely. So I kind of decided to take a step of faith, really, and do this two-year course. And it's been brilliant, very intense, but really good. And I'd actually hugely recommend it. If anyone wants to talk about it, just, you know, grab me at any point. So that's been great. And I, you know, as kind of a side point, I suppose I know the job last May wasn't the right one. It's given me a bit of a lesson about God's timing, because I wouldn't have started a new course if I'd got a new job as well at that point. But actually then, so I started a new job in the new course in September, and then in the autumn another opportunity came up with a different firm, and I ended up getting a new job anyway, so now I'm doing the course and I've got a new job. So that's been a kind of bit of a lesson for me in God's timing and how he directs things and how great that all is. So anyway, back to the course. So modules this year, I've had to begin with the Old Testament, which was kind of hard, but at least I knew what that was. And then modules in spiritual formation and systematic theology, which were quite philosophical and quite tricky. And I'm still not convinced I know what they are, but I have done some essays and passed them. So, and then the last module has been on the New Testament, which is obviously more straightforward. And so to give you a taste of what it's like, the next slide has got my first New Testament essay question on it. So I'll just give you a moment or two to digest that if you can see it. I don't know if people can read it. So I'll just read it quickly. So it's choose one of the units of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount or one of Luke's unique parables and discuss the significance and important themes of the selected passage and how this fits into Matthew and Luke's overall theological program in their respective books. So yeah, a bit daunting. But we'd had quite interesting lectures on Luke. So I thought, well, I'll just immediately narrow it down to doing one of the Luke's one of the parables in Luke. So if you move on to the next slide, please. Because Luke's gospel is really great, and one of the themes, you know, saying in the question about Luke, the themes. One of Luke's themes that he emphasises over and over again is that the kingdom of God is not like the kingdoms of the world. It's a kind of upside-down kingdom. So in the world we live in, there's some people are important, there's a religious establishment, and those those important and well-to-do people were not the people that Jesus chose to hang out with. He emphasized that God's kingdom is for the poor people, the humble people, the outcasts. In those days, women were kind of second-class citizens, really, but Luke, there's a lot in Luke's gospel promoting women, particularly bearing in mind the standards of the day. So that, you know, that's Luke's themes are quite interesting and quite challenging, really. And I was particularly drawn to the lost and found parables. So obviously you'll have guessed already, I chose the parable of the lost coin. But are people, can you think of any of the lost and found parables? Sheep, yeah. And there's another one. Yeah, the son, yeah, exactly. It's a trilogy, as all good things are. There's the parable of the lost sheep, and then the parable of the lost coin is in the middle, and then the prodigal son who goes and returns. So I chose the lost coin because it focuses on a woman, which is quite new. It's the only parable that actually features a woman, and that's one of Luke's kind of, one of the things he brings out is the importance of everyone to God, including kind of, at the time, less important people or, you know, the kind of marginalised. At a higher level, it seems relatively easy to understand. You know, there's this woman, she's lost a coin, she finds it and she rejoices, and then that's linked to Jesus. Jesus links that to God, so that, you know, the woman represents God, the coin represents lost people, finding it represents coming back to God. So overall, it's a relatively simple thing, but I'm just going to unpack each element of the parable in a bit more detail, hopefully bring a couple of insights that might be new to and helps us to see that the woman's search for lost coin is very diligent, almost a kind of reckless search. And her celebration on finding it is an extravagant celebration. And the analogy Jesus was obviously making is that God is like this. He really searches diligently for each person. And he celebrates extravagantly when people come to him. And whether or not we feel like this, I just want to do a little bit of reflection at the end. How do we feel? Does this ring true to us? And how can we take this truth on, you know, and really let it sink into our hearts? That's the programme. So if we can move on to the next slide, please. So as everyone, you know, will say when they're doing sermons and things, it's important to interpret the Bible in its original context. So we would have been speaking to a kind of first century, mainly Jewish audience. So that this first line, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. So in the first century, women would have been responsible generally for keeping the family's accumulated wealth safe. And it was common to keep valuables like silver coins together in a hoard in the home, just over there in our case, maybe with jewellery or other valuable items, which is what I was trying to do with the children. So the hoard may have included, yeah, other things. So maybe the coin got lost when someone took out some jewellery or something like that. But I think the basic message is this was an everyday scenario. People would have related to this. Yeah, a woman's got coins, lost one. Yeah, this is not something that's unusual. The coins themselves were not kind of pound coins or small change. It's not something like that now. They were quite valuable. It's called drachma in Greek. They were valuable silver coins. It was worth about the same as a denarius, which, as everyone knows, is about a day's pay for a labourer. So maybe, I don't know, 80, 100 pounds or something like that. So 10 of them wasn't a huge amount of money for a family's accumulated wealth, maybe £1,000 or something. So not a lot of money if that's your whole life savings. So I think the message really is that Jesus is portraying an economically vulnerable household here. It's not someone that has a lot of money. There's no servants to come and help her look for it. She's very distressed about losing this one coin. So it's a poor woman. And the other thing that I came across when I was doing research is people have talked a lot about the coin itself being a significant item, because coins bear the image of the ruler. So obviously our coins mostly have the queen on now, but in the future they'll have the king on. And people have drawn an analogy between that and Genesis 1:27, where God says he made people in his image. So the coin as a metaphor for a person highlights that we're made in God's image, and we have individual value because of that. Thank you. So if you move on to the next slide, we can talk about the next part of the parable. So this is the next sentence. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? So we might not be surprised that the house was gloomy, and it would have been probably with only windows on one side, not big windows. And it's probably unremarkable to you that the woman would light the lamp to try and look for the missing coin. But actually, I think we could easily miss that in the first century, lamp oil was really expensive. So it's quite a significant step for this poor woman to take. She doesn't look for the coin first, she lights the lamp first, which is quite a risky approach because she could actually end up spending more on lamp oil than the coin was worth. So we can take from this that the woman really wants to find the coin. She's searching for it kind of recklessly, almost very diligently, sweeping the house for it. And Jesus says this is what God's like when he's searching for a lost person. Jesus' mission was to come and seek and save people, and God himself is like this diligent woman searching for this coin. So that, I think that's interesting. And the lost sheep parable is similar. It asks the listener to imagine that one of you has lost 100 sheep and has 100 sheep and loses one of them. And in that parable, Jesus suggests leaving the 99 sheep and going to look for the one of them until he finds it. So again, it's quite a risky strategy of leaving 99 sheep and going to look for one. So I think that the three parables work together to emphasize this point that God is really searching for people. He's really putting himself out there. It's risky. He's not just sitting back and kind of waiting for us to come. He's really searching, which is lovely. So if you move on to the next slide, please. This is the kind of climax of the parable. So when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, this is Jesus saying, it's him speaking, in the same way I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. So it's completely understandable that the woman is happy to have found her coin. I think everyone can relate to that. But calling her friends and neighbours together to celebrate perhaps seems like an exaggerated reaction, do you think? She's only lost one coin. She doesn't have a lot of money. She probably can't afford really to throw a party. But she's really going over the top. You know, rejoice with me. And this again is supposed to illustrate to us that Jesus is like this. God is like, well, Jesus and God are like this. They're just overjoyed when we come back to them. And, you know, the lost sheep parable is similar. It says there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So again, it's kind of reinforcing the value to God of every single person. So that's a lovely kind of a lovely thing to think, to just really think about and let wave over us. So if we move on to the last slide, please. So I think the conclusion of the parable, like I said, is that although it's such a short, it's only a few lines, such a short parable, less well known than the lost sheep and the prodigal son, it is wonderfully rich in meaning. This woman's diligent searching for the single lost coin shows that to God, each individual person made in his image is worth looking for. And actually Jesus came to earth to just do that. And the fact that God and his angels rejoice when every person comes back to him is this should be this reminder for us. But before finishing, I kind of want to have a bit of reflection. So I had to prepare the presentation earlier in the week to give to Nicola to put on the overheads and everything. So I kind of did that. This is the message. And then since then, I've been reflecting on it and thinking, do we actually feel like this? I mean, it's all well and good the Bible says this and we can understand that that's what it says. But do you feel like God searches for each person? Do you feel like he searched for you? Do I feel like that? And I think, you know, sometimes there are amazing stories of people coming to faith, and I can see that God was kind of pursuing me in my life. But we can see around us as many people that are still lost coins. And how do we rationalize that if God's searching and then people aren't found? Yeah, and then do we feel like God rejoices when we come back to him? It's hard to imagine, isn't it, that God kind of is having this party. And, you know, that God values every single person in the world with this much passion. Again, I think because of our limited capacity for compassion, it's hard to kind of relate to this, perhaps. So I just wanted us to try and build a bridge, really, between the parable and how we feel. And I guess link this to what we know about God in other ways. We know that he sent Jesus into the world and that Jesus said he came to seek the lost. And I think where I've kind of got to with it is we don't understand everything that happens and we don't understand why the world's still so broken. But we can see where God's seeking and we can trust that he is celebrating. And I think we can just pray that we would take this message from the parable of the lost coin to heart. And I pray that although we don't understand it all, we know that God loves us enough to search for us and that he loves other people enough to search for them. And that if we can hold on to something of that, it can affect our attitude as we kind of go out into the world to know that we're valued as individual people and that we should value everyone else. To just try and grasp something of that valuing people as individuals. So that's what I wanted to say today. Amen.